Okay, let's start again after our extended break. So we left off, I think, talking a bit about the policy development process and noting some of the aspects contained in this report that relate to improving the ability of the GAC to provide advice early on. Some of the points that I heard was in relation to liaisons and the role that they play in facilitating policy development across the community. Also, the increase in face-to-face meetings with other parts of the community and the GAC, and that also is an avenue for building into the policy development process, and also examples of cross-community efforts or efforts such as the IDN Fast Track led by the CCNSO with the GAC and other participants in that, and the success of that working group. We also noted what the bylaws do and do not provide for in terms of for example, GAC advice, going to the board, and so on. Before we leave the issue of the policy development process, does anyone have any suggestions to the joint working group on mechanisms or how we might actually make additional concrete suggestions or options for improving the policy development process? If there aren't, we can move on, but I wanted to. EU Commission, please.
Thank you. I wasn't expecting that question, so this is a not thought through response, but it seems to me one of the problems we have in terms of resource management is that we're dealing with so many different issues at the same time that require our attention, and that by implication probably limits the amount of time available we have to get involved in additional activities upstream, if you like, actually, and early on. So I think prioritization of areas where the board are looking for advice from the GAC on specific issues and a proper planned, I think, expectation on an annual basis of where we're expected to give advice and when, and taking account of our so we can have a holistic view of our commitments in any period. That may well increase efficiency and allow us more time and resource to prioritise other areas of work as well. At the moment, we're really chasing our tails most of the time with an almost endless list of activities going on, and we're tending to deal with them in real time. So I think perhaps some prioritisation on the board's part, actually, of areas where they would like to have GAC advice within a given period, say a year, I think that might alleviate some of the pressure on us in terms of our resource commitments at the moment. Thank you.
Thank you. I know that it is going to be really useful for the GAC, certainly, to be able to prioritise its work, and we can't do that without the rest of the community doing the same thing and coming up with clear, common areas of prioritization. United States, please.
Thank you, Heather. Actually, it's more of a question, and I have to apologize. I'm showing my ignorance a little bit here, but it's been my understanding at a remove that the other SOs, well, there are two, the GNSO and the CCNSO, have quite specific rules as to how policy should be developed. Would anybody on the board be able to clarify that? Because if that is the case, would an appropriate next step be for us to get a briefing as to what those rules are, how their processes are structured as a very first step, kind of a fundamental threshold step, before we can then determine how we and the board might jointly see whether those rules might need to be amended or whether there's sufficient flexibility in those rules so that GAC advice could be taken into account at an earlier time in their respective policy development processes, because I think that's all embedded in the bylaws and in their own rules of operating procedures, if you will. So maybe that is a first step, and I just throw that out there. I could be the only one who doesn't know these rules, but it strikes me that that might be useful to have that information. Thank you.
Thank you, Suzanne. I believe Ray would like to try to respond to your question, and then we have the EU Commission.
The short answer, Suzanne, is that all three supporting organizations have policy development processes. And in addition to that, for example, in the ASO, the regional registries each have their own policy development process. Inside the GNSO, various stakeholder groups have got ways that they participate in the policy process. So those things are all there. I would caution you that they're not easily amendable, as they are developed through a community process. And so it's not like you can go to somebody and say, I need to switch this rule. You actually have to make a proposal and have the community to agree to it. So it's not quite as simple as it might be to amend it, as you might think. It's because in some cases, those communities consider their policy process to be a policy that they adopted, a way of way they're going to do business. But it's certainly well worthwhile. And I know that a lot of these organizations have got documentation. Of course, first of all, the processes are all documented, so you could read the documents themselves. But I do know that some of organizations actually have literature that explains how their process works. I know that in the case of Aaron, where I was the CEO, that there was a movie produced about it. It's interactive material. I know the REP NCC has got material that explains the policy process, as does some of the other regional registries. So there's a large variety of things out there. But I think in the interest of going back to what the EU was saying before about, you know, you have these face-to-face interfaces, it might be worthwhile that when you have one of these face-to-face interfaces with these different organizations, have them take some time and give you a short one-on-one, if you will, on their policy process, and maybe have a discussion about how that interface could work.
Thank you. EU Commission, please.
Thank you. Maybe Suzanne wanted to react, actually, first. Yes, please.
Thank you. Very gracious of you. And thank you, Ray. I don't think it's not just being informed. It's the triangular situation we find ourselves in, right? So under the bylaws, GAC advice goes to the board. Now, in this joint working group and in our discussions, there is a clear interest on both parties' parts to get GAC input into these processes. If it is the fact that at the end of the day, we have no authority over those processes, and we cannot influence any change in their rules, then would this question not go to the board? I guess that's what I'm trying to ascertain. Where is the action point? So is it up to when GAC advice goes to the board, then would you be the ones, my guess would be most likely yes, to turn around and push that advice down to the respective bodies on the relevant issues? So that's what I'm trying to actually tease out, is actual action points, next steps, because I don't believe we could do this on our own. We have very collegial relations with our counterparts in the ICANN community. I don't think there's any doubt about that. But if we can't penetrate the rules system, and it's appropriate that everybody has their own rules, then would it not be up to the board to figure out how to make that happen? Thank you.
Well, without wanting to get into it in a large debate on this, to me the simple answer is to look at the bylaw and change the bylaw, first of all, and to allow the GAC to somehow or other provide advice other than strictly to the board. And that's something that definitely should be put on the table and discussed. I mean, the bylaws were created a long time ago, as has been noted earlier, okay? Well, you know, the Internet moves at a very fast pace. Now, we can't talk about our grandfather's Internet. We can talk about our older brother's and older sister's Internet. And that's about how fast these things move. And so, it's to me, it's certainly reasonable for a discussion about a the change in the bylaws to allow the GAC advice to be become participatory in these policy forums. To me, it's a personally reasonable expectation, and the fact that the desire is for the participation to get at a lower level have a different, if you will, type of influence in the policy process is what you're talking about, is actually a very desirable goal. And so I would say that from my perspective, speaking personally, that this is something that I would welcome and that I would help you work on it.
Thank you, Ray. EU Commission, then Denmark, then Norway.
Thank you. Yeah, I think we may have touched on quite an important issue, actually. I mean, I appreciate very much comments from the US and from Ray as well. It leads me to wonder, actually, if there's a certain rigidity in the rules, actually, of the supporting organizations, for example, that maybe that's where the problem is and not with the GAC, actually. Maybe we've been looking in the wrong place, thinking that we can solve it at this end. So I think... I think it is necessary to have a look at that. We need to avoid a situation where the supporting organisations are complaining that the GAC is coming in too late, when in fact it's their own rules that prevent us actually from interacting more effectively, to be blunt. Mm-hmm. They can't have their cake and eat it, as we say in English. I note that the bylaws provide for regular reviews of ICANN, supporting organisations and advisory committees, with, I think, the notable exception of the GAC. I wonder, do those reviews actually take into account or look at the way those supporting organisations interact with other bodies such as the GAC? I don't know if there's been a recent review of the ASO, for example, right? And was that an issue that was looked at? I mean, maybe it should be. Reviewing the functioning of the supporting organisations and advisory committees on their own may not give that overview, that picture actually, of quite an important issue in a multi-stakeholder organization, and that's how each of these organs of ICANN interact with each other. But that's just a question. I don't know if anybody in the room, who's not in the GAC probably, is aware with the reviews of the other sporting organizations whether they look at this issue. Thank you.
Thank you. Denmark.
Thank you. I think it's very important that the GAC is able to act in the beginning of the process, and it's important to find mechanisms to do so, and I think changing the bylaws could be a way of doing this. But not only, I think maybe also, I don't know, we could start a little bit of looking at the other organizations, PDPs, and maybe retract or find, identify sort of the areas where there is actually possibilities for us to interact as well as a first step, because I think maybe changing the bylaws is a longer process, so just it would be very useful, I think, at least for me, to have an overview of where there are possibilities of for us to interact in what's there now. Yeah, thank you.
Thank you, Denmark. Norway, please.
Thank you. Certainly the bylaws could be looked at, but of course I think we also have to be mindful about that we shouldn't place too much workload on responsibilities for the GAC to then accommodate all the requests and sort of requirements from the supporting organizations, and also what the European Commission mentioned about the prioritization of issues to comment on from the board to the GAC. So I think we shouldn't then move the responsibility to the GAC to sort of follow the PDPs and then from the ICANN board to the GAC. So I think the responsibility should still be with the ICANN board, but of course mechanisms and how the GAC advice then can be inputted into the procedures and in, of course that could be looked at, but as also the Commission said that we have quite a heavy workload, so I think if we sort of should comprehensive follow of all the other supporting organizations, agendas and inputs, then I think that would be not sustainable. So I think it just we have to find mechanisms to sort of have this input of the GAC advice into the processes, but not to put sort of move the responsibility for doing that from the ICANN board to the GAC. Thank you.
Thank you, Norway. EU Commission.
I am sorry, actually, I keep taking the microphone. Just an idea, actually, and it's not an idea I've shared with anyone, but I don't expect a response today. I wonder whether it might be interesting, if we did look at the bylaws and the applicable rules, for example, to consider the board requiring a supporting organisation to have consulted the GAC before they come to the board with a proposed policy. So there's a requirement for them to consult us and to identify concerns that we've had and how they've taken those into account or not been taking them into account before they go to the board. Maybe that's an idea, make life easier for the board. And I think would create the solution we're all looking for. Apparently the supporting organisations would like earlier involvement of the GAC. Well, this would achieve it. We'd like earlier involvement. I don't know what the resource implications are for us as a committee, actually, if we do that. But it's an idea that seems to me that would possibly meet all of the requirements. Thank you.
I think that's an interesting suggestion, and we can reflect on that further intersessionally. Before we come to San Francisco. So thank you. Okay. I don't see any additional requests to speak on this issue. Ray, I think I've done this to you already at this meeting, so please.
I'm going to change my name to Harold. let me speak to the issue of participation. It's a really, from the perspective of supporting organizations, they all have participatory policy processes, and they will all tell you that they're open to participation by anyone. I think what's really the issue here is the manner in which the participation takes place. I don't think that the rules are inflexible or rigid. What I'm saying is that the process by which those things would be modified would actually go through some kind of a process in each one of those organizations for it to occur. It's all I was saying. Certainly, the aspect that you mentioned of a consultation occurring at a lower level is an interesting way to explore it. The other way is looking at what are other ways that the participation could take place short of a formal consultation between the bodies and so forth. So I think everything has to be put on the table and looked at. In the end, I think this is one of these areas where we're going to have to go down and really pull out the big C word, compromise, and find out the best way to get things done, because we don't want to overload the work of the GAC. And at the same time, we don't want to inject into the policy processes something that forces the bottom-up process to stall at a point. And so it's really a matter of having a very, very meaningful interchange of ideas, putting them on the table and working our way through it. And so and it's probably not the purview of this group to get that, to have that conversation, as much as it is for this group to cause that conversation to occur, to come up with a recommendation as far as how we can expand that participation.
Thank you, Ray. All right. What I propose to do with our remaining time is to quickly just go over two parts of the report. First of all, travel support, and then the idea of the high-level meeting for governments. And the main idea of going over those is to get GAC colleagues thinking about this, because we're going to be discussing these two issues this week as a GAC, and also to give our board colleagues a sense of what the GAC is already doing in order to meet objectives that we have in the Joint Working Group report. And there will be an opportunity, if you have a particular comment that you'd like to make on either of those initiatives, to do that. So And then following that, I'll try to sort of sum up where we're at and what we can expect to be working on between now and San Francisco. So the idea behind GAC Travel Support, board colleagues might not know, but currently we have funding to support up to 6 participants to a GAC meeting. And what we're aiming to do in the text that's proposed in this report is to elaborate the rationale behind why we think this is important and why it meets the relevant objective in the Joint Working Group report, that we think it's useful to expand the work of the GAC and ensure that we have representation that's broad and diverse and includes developing countries. And also we elaborate here a basis on which we could pursue that fund. So in other words, identifying the ability to give priority consideration to those that take on leadership roles within the GAC, for example, so that there aren't barriers to participation and increased participation of that kind. As you know, we do rely on all volunteers like the other communities in order to develop our inputs and our thinking as a committee. And also, a key point is that we're looking to increase the amount of funding that is available to the GAC for each meeting. We've looked at some of the numbers from the other communities, and they receive substantially more. And we believe there is sufficient interest from governments, from developing countries, to participate, that those funds should be there, they should be available. However, we would still look to the ICANN travel, I don't know its official name, but the capable travel staff within ICANN to actually manage the actual administration of those funds. That is, in essence, the idea and what we're aiming to do with it. If anyone has any points they'd like to make, then that they would be quite welcome. So, Sri Lanka, please.
Thank you, Chairman. Well, on this subject, we have reached a very high level of understanding and consensus, I would say, to make it easy for us to discuss this with some amount of agreement, and I'm very happy to note that finally we have come up with a clear number, and I'm very grateful for all the support we received in the formulation stages of this document in getting inputs from everybody across the table to have proposed number of funded fellows being increased from 6 to 30. In that context, in addition to the procedure, in connection with the procedures, one point I just wanted to flag is we may consider at some future point, if this works out, to work out a regime as to how we are going to administer this. Is it to be done by the GAC Secretariat? Is the ICANN going to outsource this to the Secretariat to manage, or you know, the logistical details of administering this number of 30 is something that we might consider including at some stage when we work out the details, if we are successful in getting 30 or some number close to it accommodated by ICANN. So my issue is about whether they are going to include the administration aspect in detail, whether it's going to be done by the Secretariat or by ICANN itself. Just a point I wanted to flag. Thank you.
Thank you. These are numbers that I had just taken a stab at before we had information from some of the other communities. And so if we have 6 currently per meeting, that's 18 per year.
And so this is an increase from 18 to 30 that I'm proposing, and I guessed at the amount of money. So for the purposes of our discussion today, I wouldn't focus too much on the number and the amount of money. What we will do is confirm some data. I know Massimiliano has gathered some information. And so when the GAC actually addresses this issue and the requests we'd like to formulate, excuse me, this week, we'll actually refine the number of per year and the dollar amount. As I say, it was me just taking a guess for the purposes of at least getting a draft started. So we'll discuss that further in the GAC. Did anyone else want to comment on the travel fund? Ray.
Like everything that when it starts talking, when you start talking about money, there's the obvious things here, and I can see that there's some things, the discussions are there. It's the control and the way that the fund is administered, because in the end, these monies, like all other monies, would be audited and so forth. And so it's probably more important to have in place the control mechanism and the selection criteria and so forth that would be used, particularly if you're going to have a third party, whether it's the secretariat or the ICANN staff or whoever, administer it, then it becomes even more important that the criteria that's being used to administer and control this be clear and explicit. Because the person that's administering it won't necessarily have the insight that the person that was writing the rules had to start with. So I think it's in your deliberations and considerations in this area that you pay particular attention to it. One thing that I used to do when I was writing papers from time to time is, and I wanted to go to the general public, was I would give it the grandmother test. I would go find someone's mother and say, would you please read this for me and tell me what it says? And so this is one case where I think we need to be clear on what's being said. In the end, I think that whatever amount of money that can be sustained on an annual basis or an annual budget perspective is probably the more important thing to pay attention to. Because certainly you can look at the way that you divide that money up, whether or not you're going to fully fund so many people or you're going to partially fund so many people or some combination of fully funding plus partially funding. So attention to the criteria that's going to be used by the administrator, controls that need to be put in place, and then being able to substantiate whatever dollar amount you think is possible. I think it's probably the more important things to take a look at.
Thank you, Ray. United States.
Thank you, Heather. I am reminded of a comment that Katim made earlier that certainly you would support creating a level playing field for the GAC as consistent with what is currently, the kind of support that is currently provided to other SOs and ACs. And I do recall, and maybe my memory is a bit flawed, but in Brussels, I think we had a briefing from Doug Brent, and he gave us an overview of the levels of support provided for travel to the ALAC and to the GNSO, if I recall. And the numbers were somewhere in the range of 21 to 23 to 25, something along those lines. So obviously there's some experience inside ICANN's house as to managing travel for those numbers. So would it make sense for the GAC to ask for parity, as you have suggested, Katim, and then simply sit down and work with the CFO and the COO as to how to make that happen? And do we need to make the request in writing, separate from the Joint Working Group report? Should this, and at what time? And would that get the blessing then of the GAC and the board in this joint working group that we are seeking parity, these are the numbers, and they certainly know, I'm guessing, they have quite a lot of experience now, several years, in managing those amounts. And maybe that's the way to go. Just a suggestion. Thank you.
Ray?
That's a very good point, and actually I support what Katima said about as far as parity goes, and yes, that's certainly. I think the real issue would then come down to perspective. If you'd be willing to accept from year to year the number that they would be willing to support, because, example, they would be making budget adjustments every year, which may cause that number to decrease or increase. And so parity says that that you would have to live with what everybody else has, so if the GAC would have to be willing to accept that. Then what really becomes important from your perspective is the selection criteria, who you select and how you go about that, and that would you'd have to pay attention to, because I assume that you would want control at least in that area, and that you would be presenting to the staff in this case, if that's where the administration was, a list of names and of people that would be traveling. I think that that's not unreasonable to ask for parity, but you have to decide whether or not parity is what you really want.
Fair enough. In terms of the process, what you've described is what happens now with the fund, and so I don't anticipate that changing. Okay, so I don't see any... Norway, please.
Yes, thank you, Heather. Just to, I think it's already there in the report, but to remind us ourselves about that of course the rationale for doing this is to have a greater a participation from developing countries, and that we have said in the past as well is important. So, thank you.
Thank you. All right, so... in the time remaining, I will just quickly go over the high-level meeting idea and quick opportunity for comments, and then we'll need to wind up. We're very close to the end of our time slot. So just to say that the idea of having a high-level meeting for governments really came out of an idea that it would be useful to have a meeting dedicated specifically for high-level officials, some of whom already come to GAC meetings, in order to raise awareness of this organization, ICANN, and the GAC, the kinds of issues we work on, the significance of that, how to participate, and that kind of thing. And that's, again, with the overall aim of increasing the strength of the GAC and its ability to provide advice, on matters with public policy aspects to them. So we had looked at, holding a meeting earlier this year. However, the timing did not work out. So we're wondering whether San Francisco would be another good opportunity. put together a program specifically with this in mind, just before or as the GAC meetings begin. The idea, I don't think, is any more further developed than that. But if you have reactions or thoughts on that, please take this opportunity. Malta.
Yeah, when you talk about high-level officials, are you aiming this at really the most senior policy people in government or elected officials? Have you thought that? And I think that's sort of a very important distinction if you're really aiming a program, say, for ministers. I'd like to know.
In the informal discussions that have taken place so far, I think it demonstrates that you would get a mixture. In some cases, you would have ministers, and in the event that a vice minister is a political appointee, there's interest at that level. If I look at my own department, you would get an assistant deputy minister attending in all likelihood. So I think we can expect it to vary from one GAC member to the next, but if that gives you an idea of the level of discussion that's taken place. Brazil, please.
Thank you. Just another clarification. I don't know when does this idea come up. I don't know if this idea came up during intersessional discussions, and like just clarificate on that. And secondly, what would be the exactly purpose of this meeting? What would be the outcome or output of this meeting, high-level meeting? Thanks.
It came up very briefly in the meeting before the last, so it would have been for Nairobi, and there was a limited amount of discussion, I think, at that point. But that's when I believe that the idea was first proposed. In terms of the outputs, it's really no more than what I indicated. As we have a slot as the GAC in our GAC schedule this afternoon to discuss this concept, you know, I think we can get a bit more into what GAC members would see as beneficial to come out of that meeting, you know, to be more specific. So let's use that time to develop a thought. Jean-Jacques.
Thank you, Heather. If I may interject here, in answer to the question from the representative from Brazil, what would be the purpose? I don't know, because I was not part of the, obviously, of the initial thought about this, but I'd imagine that the purpose would be twofold. On the one hand, take stock not so much of the way you are organized today. First, you have to start with the challenges. What are the challenges to GAC and more widely to ICANN and the GAC in the years to come? And the second part would be, how do we adapt to that? So working less on past, although of course, obviously, you must address the question of past and present practices, but have a more forward-looking attitude and try to adapt from that. I know the analogy is far-fetched, but maybe you'd accept that when those in charge of the at-large structures decided that they wanted a summit, they had to put the same question. We want a summit, but what for? And I think the way it worked out was very beautifully done with a very effective result, and it enhanced the visibility of at-large to a large extent. And it gave them a sense of renewed purpose. And I think it also helped them having a much clearer, high-level view of how they want to restructure, if that's the case, but also improve their working methods. And as a board member, as one among many board members, I found that a very good result. So you may be wishing to have a look at that and other examples as well. Thanks.
Thank you, Jean-Jacques. Next, I have Portugal, then Sri Lanka.
Well, I remember this is an issue that has been discussed in several of the GAC meetings before. So for several of our sessions, we visit this issue every now and then, so it's not a brand new idea. Concerning the level, it's very clear that either it attracts ministers or vice ministers according to the country, or else it is not worth doing, because as a matter of fact, some of us are director generals for these areas, and other people around the table maybe are representing director generals themselves. So only this level would justify. But let me tell you, just awareness or sensibility or raising the level of consideration of GAC in the capitals is not enough reason to bring these people. They will come if the agenda is challenging, if there are new points to be considered, and only if that happens. So instead of discussing if we are going to organize a high-level meeting next time or 6 months from now, I think what we should be discussing is what is the agenda that really requires the presence of these people. Thank you.
Thank you, Portugal, Sri Lanka.
Yes, my point was also flowing from what Portugal just mentioned. A lot depends on whether the agenda itself is very attractive to compel such a high-level meeting of officials. And just a point I wanted to flag from a developing country perspective is the fact that I'm saying such a meeting is in fact will be useful, but it might be worth considering whether there will be with the affordability coming to San Francisco will make it fully representative from a developing country perspective, because unless otherwise we can get some officials also funded through the travel support system, which is a little bit unlikely under the current context. This issue of having a fully representative gathering might be a factor that might be taken into consideration, and if there's some way in which some can join by video conferencing from developing countries, and if that can be facilitated, I'm sure we can have a worthwhile exchange. Thank you.
Thank you, Sri Lanka. I have EU Commission, then Italy, then Netherlands, then United States. Are these comments that need to be made in this particular working group, or can they be made in our dedicated session this afternoon? I do need to tie up. We're already over time. Okay, EU Commission wants to make a remark of this size. Okay, EU Commission.
Thank you. Maybe even smaller. Yeah, I had a list of points. There's only one, I think, that's useful to make now while we have our colleagues from the board here, and that is that when we're organizing or planning this meeting, and I echo everything that's been said so far, I think we need to decide what expectations we have for board involvement for this senior or super GAC meeting that we might organize, just so that we can inform the board at this meeting. I think we need to make these decisions here in Colombia, so that the board know if we have expectations that there be a joint session or some kind of agreement with the board that people might want, because there'll be implications on the board side. So that was my only observation I think it would be useful to share at this point. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I think that's a great point to make to our board colleagues, and I think we will also need support from the organization in order to help organize such a meeting. So that's as well something we can flag to our colleagues here. Okay, so Netherlands, you have a comment?
One question. You said we're going to discuss this in a joint working group this afternoon again. Sorry?
It's in the GAC schedule this afternoon. We will have 30 minutes to. Yeah. Okay. All right. So.
Can Jean-Jacques say something? Since this is his last meeting, please send
it. Jean-Jacques? Italy, please.
Yeah, just for the presence of the board, I would like to mention that in the review team on transparency and accountability, there is a statement: the board should endeavor to increase the level of support and commitments of governments to the GAC process. So, this is certainly an important asset, because to attract high-level people, we have to also to let understand that this is a high-level ICANN priority, and then discuss this strategic elements. And then another thing is that San Francisco is certainly a good choice, because it might be that the high-level people wants to be there, but we cannot think to invite high-level people for a half-a-day meeting or so. So this thing should be prepared with some maybe also external other initiatives that might give an agenda that is has an appeal, a real appeal. So it's something that has to be prepared at adequate level, as is high-level people. Thank you.
Thank you, Italy. All right, I'm determined to sum up the meeting. So what I propose is that we make the refinements to the language based on the comments from Brazil and Norway to GAC advice to the board, and circulate that to the list for quick approval agreement, so that we can post that version of the Joint Working Group report. That will enable the Accountability and Transparency Review Team or the Berkman Center to refer to it and to make it public. And I think that that would be a useful document to have in wider circulation than it currently exists. And then following that, I would like to ask whether we can convert the options that are identified in the paper into recommendations. So think on that a moment while I make my final point, and that is that we work on the policy development process aspects of this report intersessionally based on the idea floated by Bill D, the need to find the right mechanism or mechanisms in order to improve that process, identifying where the action points actually exist or should exist, and taking into account the existing rules of the supporting organizations and the bylaws in order to refine those. So coming back to converting the options to recommendations, I have one GAC member nodding. Are we able to do that? It's still a draft report, even if we convert the word option to recommendation. Nodding. Okay, let's do that and see how we go from here over the next few months. All right. Any final comments? Anyone that insists? Okay. All right. I have Ray, Kenya, and United States. Ray.
Just points of clarification. So the list that you were referring to is the joint list. You're talking about some language being put out to the list for finalization.
Yes, that would go to the joint working group list.
And
yes.
The intersessional work, are you talking about maybe having an intersessional call of the joint working group?
I think we should try to do it online.
Okay.
Kenya.
Thank you, Chair. A quick question regarding the secretariat here. I think we'd requested for information about how other supporting organizations are provided for in terms of secretariat support, because then that will inform our discussions, I think, on Tuesday regarding the GAC secretariat. I don't know whether we've received that information yet or... Yeah.
I don't believe we have, but I can add that to my list of follow-up items.
Yes, because it will inform our discussions.
Yeah,
regarding
yeah.
This. Thank you.
Yeah, okay. Fine. United States.
Kenya has already covered my point. Thank you so much.
Great. Okay. Thank you very much, everyone, for coming this morning. Jean-Jacques? Yes? Yes, please.
No, actually, I was looking at this because I wanted to stand up to show my respect for the GAC. But I can't do that, so please consider that the intention is there. I take this opportunity with the permission of the co-chairs to say a few words, mainly on two things. What are the global challenges which will impact ICANN and the GAC in the coming years? And my second point will be, so what? Where do we go from there? So, thanks to tech, I can show my respect for public authority. By the way, my voice is not due to excessive emotion. It's simply that I have a bad cold. So, there are a few challenges I think we must not neglect, because they will impact us whether we like it or not.
And the impact will be not only on GAC or on board separately or on the community, but collectively on all of us. Amongst the various things I see, it is that the reality of the internet today, it is the first time in human history that there is a common infrastructure of that magnitude. I think that sets the stage for the dimension and the importance of the challenges which we face. Just a few things among the challenges. I would mention that the internet reference time is not normal time. Things go much faster. The greatest companies in the world, the most developed, the most successful, the most benefit accruing companies in the world today are, for most of them, didn't exist 10 or 20 years ago. So that's just to give an indication of the pace at which things are moving. Innovation, if anything, is more than ever a driving force, as we see in this particular area of electronic communication. And also, the needs, the basic needs, are evolving. Access, water, etc. But as far as the internet is concerned, I think that I identify mainly three things. One is the shift from formality to informality. Two is the shift from consumerism about the consumer attitude towards information and entertainment and culture to a participative approach, in other words, co-production. And my third point about the evolving needs is that development country needs will have to be taken care of more seriously. So what are the consequences of some of these global challenges for us at ICANN and on the internet in general? For the board, I think that this comes at a time, the joint review comes at a time when, fortunately, we have a redefinition, a much more specific, precise definition of the roles of ICANN and the obligations of ICANN, thanks to the affirmation of commitments on accountability and transparency, for instance. So I think that we must avoid that the mechanism of these reviews, which is very time-consuming but also very worthwhile, takes on, in the long run, too many of the available resources of the organization and the community. A second challenge, I think, is that we are headed towards greater than ever diversity and internationalization of ourselves, of our structures, of our concerns. For the GAC, what do these overall challenges mean? For instance, I would say that the structure, the way GAC has been developed, reflects a past paradigm, which was the UN model. The UN is still valid, that's not what I mean, but it came out of a period of the history of multilateral organizations, which was very much determined by the Cold War. And therefore, there is a degree of carefulness and attention to detail, the placing of a comma instead of a semicolon, which is completely understandable. But I'd like to contrast this with the challenge of the internet time today. And that I think that one of the problems for all of us in GAC, and certainly for the board and GAC, is that we have to compact that time and get the message through more quickly. I think that to pick up on one of the conclusions of this morning's meeting, the high-level meeting project, I think that's a very worthy project, and if I may be so forward as to suggest that it could be, the main theme could be, for instance, the internet and the renewed interest of public authority for the internet. And finally, a few words about the interrelations between the board, the GAC, and the other elements of this community. I think that what we require is a better balance between formality, respect of the bylaws, your own operating rules, etc., and the fast pace I just mentioned. As Ray said earlier, if you feel that bylaws do not reflect the current reality, change the bylaws, or at least make a proposal to change them. I noticed that you have a project for a more operational secretariat, and I think that's a very important element. And my final remark is the role of the chair and the liaison. I think that here again, the formality which is imposed on your representative to the board is completely understandable. It's a very big constraint, but perhaps you would gain more from it if there was a certain greater degree of informality and flexibility in the to-ing and fro-ing. At least that's what I felt as one of the board members. Thank you so much. And I'd like to, in conclusion, thank you for the opportunities you gave me to listen in on your debates and just occasionally to contribute. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Jean-Jacques. I know the GAC appreciates the willingness of our board colleagues to participate in the joint working group and to contribute to these discussions, which for us are of great importance. So thank you. All right, so GAC members, we meet in this room at 1:30 with the Accountability and Transparency Review Team. So see you then. Thank you, everyone.